Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime. You saw me standing by the wall, corner of a main street, and the lights are flashing on your windowsill.
A song that puts you in a distinctive mood, to say the least. Go back a little bit old school there. That song was used in the CBS show Cold Case that dealt with a little bit of schadenfreude back in the day. This is Oilers Now. It is presented by World of Spas. It's 1208 in Edmonton. World of Spas, aching after a long day. World of Spas offers tubs designed with your relief in mind. Rest, recover, and relax with World of Spas, Edmonton's number one swim spa dealer. Visit worldofspas.com. We will tell you the Edmonton Oilers have made a trade. We talked yesterday, extended a metaphor from the fact that the election's the election. It's time now for everybody to dig in and make the province better. And you know what? You look at the Edmonton Oilers situation, and I would make and strongly assert this is the most important offseason for the Edmonton Oilers organization. They won 5 Stanley Cups back in the 1980s. In fact, on this date, May 31st, 1987, they claimed their 3rd Stanley Cup championship. But this is a critical juncture, critical time, and the Oilers don't have a lot of cap space. This is one of the things that doesn't get discussed in the assessment of Ken Holland's work over the last 4 years, but you got to grind and you got to get creative. And the Edmonton Oilers have made a subtle little trade. As we go to our top story for Legacy Heating and Cooling, whether it's heating or cooling you need, get it with no payments and no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy. Legacy Heating and Cooling. The Edmonton Oilers have acquired a player we spoke about. Frank Saravalli wrote about this, may have gotten tipped off on it, about 6 weeks ago, about the fact that it didn't look like the New York Rangers were going to be able to sign Jaden Grubb of the Red Deer Rebels. He was a third-round pick in 2021. The Oilers have acquired his rights for a 5th-round selection in this year's draft. People would say, well, this year's draft is super deep. It is. But Edmonton could make use of a 6'3", 200-pound right shot center that is committed and works hard, is not a high-end finisher, more of a playmaker than a shooter. He is a very assertive player on the ice, especially, and we talked a bit about this yesterday, and this is going to be part of the discussion point with the Toronto Maple Leafs organization making it official on Brad Treliving. We've talked about how the Flames have prioritized, as an organization, competitive players. Grubb is a competitive player, and he will be joining us on today's edition of Oilers Now at 1:20. Now, there is a catch here. The Oilers have got to get him signed. I'd say it's a formality, given that they've given up a 5th-round draft pick to do the deal. We'll hear from Jaden Grubb on today's edition of Oilers Now at 1:20. So, Edmonton gets a 6'3" right shot center. Of course, last year they signed Noah Philp. And found a mechanism to improve their depth in the farm team for a season. And Philp ended up scoring 16 goals at even strength, 19 goals overall, and I think exceeded the expectations of maybe some of the people that didn't think he could necessarily do that in the American Hockey League. In Grubb's case, frankly, he's further along than Philp is at the same age. Again, we'll hear from Jaden Grubb today at 1:20. Also on today's edition of Oilers Now, 1235 Sportsnet's Mark Spector. At 1:05 today, the Washington Capitals yesterday announced Spencer Carberry as their head coach. We'll talk about the impact of that with Al May, who's a Edmonton area product that willed his way to the NHL. And David Staples from the Cult of Hockey and the Provincial Affairs columnist for the Edmonton Journal He will join us with his thoughts on all things Oilers and a little bit on the election as well. Speaking about the election, there was a piece written by Colby Kosh in the National Post, and it really, I thought, did a brilliant job sort of setting the framework and the mood of Western Canadians at this time. Not just Albertans, but Western Canadians, and the fact that there is not a lot of philosophical alignment specifically with the Trudeau-led Liberal Party at this time. I thought it was really well done. You might want to take a look at it if you're open to that sort of thing. You can text us at any time on the Ashley Fine Floors text line 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you always wanted, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, or head to ashleyfinefloors.com for more information. The River Cree Resort Casino Hotline is 780-496-0063. Canadian rock icon Burton Cummings takes the stage June the 8th at the River Cree. Tickets and more information at therivercreeresort.com. We're on Twitter at Oilers Now. You can tweet me personally, Bob _ Stopper. Brendan Escott is at Brendan with two E's and Escott with two T's. So the Oilers starting to take care of some business here, Brendan. And yesterday they got Philip Kemp signed to a two-year extension. I just about fell out of my chair when he said his favorite player growing up was Dan Girardi. You know, you talk to certain people in the Oilers organization and they're like, well, this guy's already kind of moved. This was seventh-round draft choice. Right, you know, they've hit on a couple later picks here. Specifically, you take it a seventh-round pick on Vincent Desharnais, and now you have a situation where Kemp's been signed to a two-year deal. Can he will himself into the league as well over the next couple of years and provide a right shot option? The bottom line is the primary focus of playing defense is defending. And you have a lot of players of this generation that don't necessarily want to take on specified roles. If you're willing to do some of that stuff, it can pan out for you. So Kemp yesterday and Jaden Grube today. Brendan, this is a guy we talked about, thought it made a little bit of sense. What do you think? He was drafted in the third round. He had a wonderful opening round of the playoffs, by the way. And then kind of tailed off a bit, as did the Rebels were up 3-0 to Saskatoon in round two, and Saskatoon came all the way back. And there were some things going on behind the scenes there. I think coach isn't back, obviously. But just your thoughts on Edmonton investing a fifth-round pick in this year's draft to get a player that was drafted third round that was a point per game and has that kind of size and is a pivot, is a center.
And a right shot center, I think, most importantly. That's what draws the intrigue for me. A big body there. I love a player who has tenure as a captain with any sort of franchise. That means a lot to me. That means he's got relationships with not only his teammates, but with his coaches, you know, with the community, that sort of thing. So that's the kind of player you want to bring into a successful organization. I know that we talk about the offensive cupboards maybe being a little bare down there in Bakersfield as some of these players transition up. So not a bad move at all, in my opinion, to bring a guy who's familiar. He grew up in Calgary playing for the Buffaloes down there before making the jump.
Yeah. You know, in the Noah Phillips situation, it was a little bit interesting that he was not on what we would consider the Black Aces squad for the playoffs after, because I'm certain that he'd be offered an extension. I think we need to see how this plays out over the next month. Noah went through a very traumatic incident almost 2 years ago now, probably about, off the top of my head, about 22 months ago. And again, he certainly impressed his teammates. You look for players. We're not going to have a lot of cap room, okay? I think we all know that. And I know today Sarah Valley with the Daily Faceoff listed Kyler Yamamoto at the top of his list for potential buyouts for Edmonton, and he's a one-third buyout coming off year in which he only had 10 goals. I mean, Derek Ryan had 13 goals and was plus 11 and never played in the top six. But we're in a situation here, and the one thing that doesn't get brought up, I don't think every move that Ken Holland has made has worked out perfectly well. I mean, the Athanasiou trade, we all know what happened there. I will tell you that one of the two guys that was brought over from Detroit took a tremendous amount of ownership in that trade. and I've always admired him for that. That was an organizational decision to make on Athanasiou giving up two number twos to get him. They gave up a number four to get Mike Green. This was before the pandemic fully reached in 2019. And you take a look at what's, you know, what's ultimately ended up happening, a flat cap. I mean, we thought in back in 2019, we might be going to $86 million on the cap. We're at 83.5 4 years later. Like, that's, it's going up by a million to 83.5 this year. Now, there's $85 million left of escrow to pay off for the players. That will be done at the end of this season, regardless of the television situation. Did you see, Brendan, I don't know if you saw this. Do you see what happened with the Padres last night in their regional TV deal with Bally Sports?
No. Fill me in.
They pulled the chute. The league has taken over their broadcast in season.
Oh, boy.
I've never seen that happen before. But
the Padres have, like, look at their payroll and their roster, Bob. Nobody's tuning in to watch those players.
It is San Diego. Wow. It is not, like, you know, the Dodgers still, I mean, Anaheim, Artie Moreno went into Anaheim and gave every kid in Southern California a ball cap and gave grade five, right? I don't know what kind of impact the Padres have. But you'd have to think, and they are, I mean, how far away is San Diego from LA? Like 80 minutes away? I mean,
a couple hours.
Last time I drove there, it was like 80 or 90 minutes. But, you know, I am a lead-footed Albertan, proudly saying that as well. Anyhow, that has me a little bit, that perked my ears up last night when I had a couple different guys reach out via Twitter and send it to my Bob Stauffer account. Hey, Brendan, you know what else I did last night? I want to put a shout out right now for Josh Marshall and the guys at the Two Mutts podcast. We did about an extended half hour. He had everything sponsored. It's like he listens to talk radio and has figured out how to get stuff sponsored for his podcast. Geez, that kind of sounds like a really good idea. You know? And you have a little bit more latitude. Nah, anyhow, I digress. Because this show is podcast as well. But Josh is an interesting guy. He's got some interesting takes. It was fun being on his show last night. And that's when the Brad Treliving news came down. And we'll be talking about that coming up with NHL today as well. It's 12:19 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer and Brendan Escott with you. The Edmonton Oilers, a small, subtle little trade with Jaden Grubb acquired. We'll hear from him a little bit later on today's show. Spectre, L. May, David Staples as well, and we'll be back with NHL today. All right. Yesterday on Oilers Now, as we go into the Oilers Now Audio Vault, it is presented by Direct Workwear. Proud to announce that they're opening a women's-only workwear store located four doors north in the Direct Workwear location, Gateway Boulevard. Find out more at womenswearwear.ca at 12:22 in Edmonton. We had Frank Saravalli on for the Horses and Horse Race in Alberta, live thoroughbred racing back at Century Mile Racetrack and Casino Friday and Saturday. For more information, head to thehorses.com. And Frank had this to say on several NHL coaching vacancies.
Potentially six other head coaching openings after this. Carberry was 8. Burnett is 7. That leaves 6. Rangers, Flames, Blue Jackets, Ducks, maybe the Leafs, maybe the Sens.
Yeah.
And all depends on who's the next GM in Toronto and who's the next owner of the Sens. But I wonder, as everyone has speculated openly about Peter Laviolette being the next Rangers head coach, and it certainly seems like there's lots of smoke there, John Hines has the BU connection with Chris Drury. Does he become a candidate with the Rangers?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, who's going to be the next GM of the Maple Leafs?
My money would be on Brad Treliving, and I am a gambling man. I think he checks so many of the boxes. I think he's the front runner. I think he was the first person that they interviewed in Toronto. I think they're in an intelligence gathering mode right now, trying to talk to as many people as they can. I don't think it's super far down the track with Brad Treliving, but I do think that there's mutual interest there. We'll see where that goes.
Well, we have our answer on Brad Treliving as we go. That's Frank Ciravalli yesterday. He mentioned John Hines. The Rangers make it official. Hines is interviewing with the Rangers today. We go to NHL Today for our friends at Elite Promotional Marketing, your local branded merchandise specialist. Head to ElitePromoMarketing.com. Last night, TSN's Darren Dreger reported Leafs well down the path and Treliving's job, and it was all confirmed today. Here's Brendan Escott.
It certainly was. So he takes over replacing Kyle Dubas, who we don't have official word on yet either, but Brad Treliving now at the helm of the Toronto Maple Leafs. As far as the coaching carousel, you mentioned it, Bob, there, the Rangers have permission to interview the newly fired John Hines. They will do so today. Gerard Gallant, Travis Green, and they're among the Flames coaching candidates here. Just reading some headlines. That would be obviously at the behest of Craig Conroy now, who gets to make that decision in part with the Flames. At the Memorial Cup, we've got the matchup I know you and I were both waiting for. This is Kamloops in Seattle, 7 o'clock tonight. And so last night's results mean what for this game?
So here's the deal. The loser of tonight's game plays tomorrow against the Peterborough Petes. The winner of tonight's game goes to the semifinal game, and they would then, in theory, play the winner of the tiebreaker game, and home and cool then through to the final are the Quebec Ramparts, who beat both Seattle and Kamloops. Seattle and Kamloops handled Hamilton quite easy. So there you go, 12-26 in Edmonton. We also had Philip Kemp on yesterday's edition of Oilers Now. As we go back into the Oilers Now audio vault for direct workwear, and he had this to say on his contract extension.
Just super excited to be back, hoping to take another step and just try to be a piece for the organization. I mean, they got a lot of horses up and down the lineup, Bob. It seems like they're just kind of looking for the right role players to complement those horses, and I'm just trying to be a part of that role group, I think.
And that's what we're down to right now. We're down to a scenario with the Edmonton Oilers where they got to grind away. And it's, this just isn't on the players. It's on the management and the coaching staff and everybody that's in those roles. And they took a step today. They invested a fifth-round pick in the future to sign an unsigned third-round draft choice of the Rangers, Jaden Grew. We'll hear from him. And, yes, I'm getting people saying, stop. He needs to be signed by tonight. Yeah, he's going to get signed. You don't trade the pick if you don't think you can't get the player signed. He's going to get signed. But those are the sort of moves you've got to look for mechanisms and windows. And, you know, we talked about Grew about 6 to 8 weeks ago on this show. Word had gotten out that the Rangers weren't going to get a deal done with him, which was a little bit surprising because at the time that this was happening, he was having an unbelievable playoff run. Ended up with 16 points in 12 games in the playoffs with Red Deer. And I think what a lot of the listeners will like about him, there's a lot of guys today that got skill. Okay, there's been tremendous emphasis on skill, and there's a lot of 5'9", 5'10", 5'11" skill guys. You still have to compete. Well, Grubb's 6'3", and he competes. That's got me interested a bit. All right, this text comes in. Bob, on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, I reffed Grubb for years as he came up in Calgary and at the Alberta Cup. Very competitive and has some fire in his game. Bob, who wrote the National Post article that you referenced at the start of the show? Colby Kosh. Colby Kosh. He's from the West. He wrote that piece. You can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Keep it coming. Somebody's like, okay. It's all good. Lots coming in here. Wow, we've had like five people want us to link the piece. I guess maybe we can do it. We'll get Brendan to send it from the Oilers Now account. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Randy Kilburn. And when we come back, Mark Spector will join us from Sportsnet. This is Oilers Now.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.